This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We've got two Law and Order stories to start with today. First, police body cameras. Boston police are beginning the process of notifying 100 officers who have been selected to wear body cameras for a six-month pilot program. Last month, Mayor Marty Walsh and Boston Police Commissioner Bill Evans struck a deal with the city's largest police union to outfit officers with the cameras on a voluntary basis, but no volunteers stepped forward. So yesterday, Evans announced that 100 randomly selected officers will be forced to wear the body cams. Joining us now with the latest is WBUR Zeninjor Enwemeka. Zeninjor, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, Meghna.
So first of all, you were able to speak with the Boston Police Department today. What did they tell you?
Yeah, so the police department's position is that assigning the cameras isn't outside the agreement with the union. So I spoke with Lieutenant Mike McCarthy at BPD, and he says that the agreement is still being followed. And here's what else he had to say.
The agreement was that we would attempt to get volunteers. That didn't happen, so now the commissioner is going to assign officers.
Interesting. But of course, yesterday when Commissioner Evans said that he was going to force the 100 randomly selected officers to do so, he also said he anticipated some pushback, right?
Yes, he did. He did. He said we haven't, and again, you know, we haven't heard much from the unions yet at this point. Yes, again, Commissioner Evans did say he expected some pushback. So that's definitely something to follow in the coming weeks.
Okay, so we'll keep our eye on that. Now, does this decision on randomly selecting 100 officers change the timeline for the rollout of the pilot program of the body cams?
So it changes it a little bit. So, I mean, the police department says that they expect the body camera program to begin in early September. But there are a couple steps that need to happen before that. So, you know, here's sort of a rundown. Here's what we know now in terms of the timeline. So starting today, officers are being notified that they will be assigned body cameras. Then those officers will have to be trained. So that training is expected to start next week. And is expected to last a couple weeks. And then the pilot program should be up and running in early September.
Okay. Now, as we talked about a little earlier, these 100 officers are being randomly selected. Are they being selected by the Boston Police Department itself, or are they getting some assistance in doing that?
So the Boston Police Department is getting assistance. So the 100 officers will be randomly selected by Northeastern Professor Anthony Braga, who heads the criminology department there. And so Commissioner Evans has said that, you know, the pilot program will include officers of all ages, races, a variety of different sections of the city, as well as different specialized units will make up those 100 officers.
And what has the commissioner said about what might happen if an officer who is selected refuses to wear the body cam?
Evans has said that officers who choose not to wear the cameras will be subject to disciplinary action.
Okay, interesting. And as you mentioned, we've reached out to the Boston Police Union at the center of this question, and we've yet to hear back from them. But that's WBUR's Zeninjor Enwemeka giving us the latest on this move to force 100 police officers, randomly selected police officers, to participate in the six-month pilot body cam program starting in September. Zeninjor, thank you so much for the update.
You're welcome, Meghna.
Okay, so let's dig a little bit deeper into this question of police body cams and how the pilot program is unfolding here in Boston. And helping us to do so is Carl Williams. He's a staff attorney at the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Carl.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, first of all, just reiterate to us what the ACLU's position is on body cams in Boston.
So in Massachusetts and also nationwide, the ACLU supports body-worn cameras on police officers because we feel it ensures accountability and transparency. And that's if it's done right, right? If there are certain policies and procedures put in place. One of the things we're very against is facial recognition, right? Because if the Boston police had 2,000 or 3,000 body cameras in the street and every one of them was scanning people's faces, doing and saying, we know this person was here at this time, I think most of the public would be very worried about that.
Okay. So I'm really interested about the if it's done right part. I mean, facial recognition is one of those if it's done right questions. But do you think it's being done right that the BPD is now forced to is forcing 100 randomly selected officers to participate in the pilot program?
I think I'm going to actually say required instead of forced,
okay.
Right? Because you're not forced to do this radio show. It's just your job, right? And I think part of this is, you know, a police officer is required to wear a gun. They're required to wear a badge. The BPPA, the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association, could say, we're being forced to do this. This is 21st century policing, right? That's what it is. And I think that's what we're looking at right now. And there certainly is room for negotiation, I think, and the BPPA is using this as a little bit of a wedge.
Right. I mean, the Patrolman Association's president, Patrick Rose, has said, well, forcing or requiring officers to wear body cameras goes against the deal that the union reached with the department. I mean, if you could look into your crystal ball here a little bit, echoing what Commissioner Evans says yesterday, do you think that this is a case that could likely go to court?
It's hard to tell if this is some brinksmanship right now, and maybe there's something else they want. And one of the things I would look to in terms of what the rank and file, what the Patrolmen's Association wants, is this recently drafted letter that they said, which was about having machine guns, essentially they say long guns, but machine guns on the street and other more forms of armament. And I think that's sort of going in the opposite direction of what we're hearing in the country. It's also going in the opposite direction of what we're hearing in the state and people talking about police accountability and concerns about use of force.
Yeah. Do we know of any other cities, major American cities, where the rollout of a body cam, police body cam program, I mean, I was going to say has been as contentious, but I presume it's been contentious in a lot of places, but that the police department had to take this extraordinary step to even get a pilot program off the ground.
Yeah. One of the questions about that I have is if the Boston Police Department, if the brass, let's say, feels that they could require or force the officers to do it, then the interim step of saying, well, it's voluntary and we have to do this and we have to negotiate with the union, that seems like that process could have been abrogated. They could have just said, look, we're going to randomly select 100 people. And also, that's what we were hearing on the street. People wanted there to be a wide selection of people, departments, in units that have police, that have body cameras, instead of selection, because selection, someone can just say, well, you know, I'm going to be a community service officer and go, you know, give out ice cream today. Why shouldn't I wear a camera?
Mm-hmm. So given that, is there the possibility that the way this is unfolding, at least over the period of the pilot program or the 6 months, we might actually get a truer representation of the experiences that the officers and community members are having on the street if we have 100 randomly selected people wearing body cams?
I'm on the radio, so no one can see me cross my fingers. But fingers crossed. I mean, we're hopeful that that's the case. And there are some procedures and policies that we asked to be in place that haven't been implemented, and we're still pushing for those.
Okay. Well, we're speaking with Carl Williams. He's staff attorney for the ACLU of Massachusetts. We were just talking about the latest in the rollout of the pilot body cam program for the Boston Police Department. Carl, stick with us because there's another law and order story that sort of unfolded recently in Massachusetts that I'd love your view on, but I want to get some background on it first. Now, this story happened last month on Martha's Vineyard. And what happened was this. State police raided yards on the island and confiscated almost 400 marijuana plants. A National Guard helicopter was used to spot the plants from the sky, and then Massachusetts state police officers were dispatched to seize the marijuana. Now, there are reports of destruction of property during the seizures, and lots of people are raising questions about whether a search warrant should have been issued before the raids and whether the National Guard should have been involved in what was a state-level law enforcement action. So joining us now from Vineyard Haven is Barry Stringfellow. He's been reporting on the story for the Martha Vineyard Times, and he's been reporting about it on the raid since last month. Welcome to Radio Boston, Barry.
Thank you, Magna.
So first of all, give us a little bit of some more details on exactly what happened. What was the scale and the scope of this operation?
Well, it was a two-day period, and over those 2 days, a helicopter, a black helicopter, was hovering over the island in different places. And it was something that used to happen here every August, and they'd stopped doing it for a while, and there was some confusion about who was behind all this. But basically what came to me was a story of an 81-year-old man who actually started growing it for his wife when she had pancreatic cancer, and he just you know, raved about the medical benefits that she had. And so he had four plants in his yard, and all of a sudden these people came in with orange vests, no identification, and just came in and tore out his plants. So that's what got us looking into it. And, you know, we found something like 31 people. People are kind of reluctant to go on the record because most of them said they still want to grow. And these are all, you know, for personal use. But as we looked into it, you know, the local police weren't even clued into this. So it was confusing who was behind it, and eventually we found out it was the state police, as you said.
Yeah.
Defensive support from the Air National Guard. And we still don't know quite yet who ordered it within the state police, but it left a lot of people here very upset, and social media really lit up about it. And I have to say, you know, it's one of the most commented stories we have, and it's probably the only time we've had a story where everybody agreed. People are outraged about the expense and about the intrusion. No badges were shown, no warrants, and like you said about property damage, pots were broken and hoses were slashed, which I asked the police about, and they said destruction of property was not part of the instructions. But
Barry, let me just jump in here for a second, because you said something there I want to be sure that we all caught. So according to everyone that you spoke with whose plants were seized, no one said that any of the officers showed them a badge or a warrant.
Correct.
Okay. And were these officers, they were clearly on people's properties. Were they inside of people's houses?
No, it was all outdoors. And they were spotting, you know, they were spotting from the helicopter, and then they would have ground officers come in and tear it out. And they spent 2 days doing this. And, you know, besides, one woman said she was gardening, and there was a helicopter just hovering over her for a long time. She said it was really unsettling. But then another woman said that, you know, she's a tenant on a property, and these people came in, and she said she was scared to death.
Wow.
She didn't know what to do.
And did anyone say that the officers, who it sounds like they were in plain clothes but with orange vests, that, did they ask anyone that you talked to for a medical use of marijuana ID card?
No, they did not. And finally, I found someone who does have a medical card, and interestingly, another octogenarian. But I'm following up with him now, and actually, it'd be a good thing speak with Carl. Actually, Carl, I called Whitney Taylor, and she said, political director of the ACLU, and she said they wouldn't get involved unless somebody was arrested, which nobody was arrested. So we were hoping to get some legal advice, or, you know, whether they needed a warrant,
right?
Whether they needed to show some kind of badge.
Well, Barry, on that note, I'm going to turn back to Carl, but that's Barry Stringfellow, reporter for Martha's Vineyard Times, joining us from Vineyard Haven. Thank you so much, Barry.
You're welcome.
Well, as we mentioned, we've got Carl Williams of the ACLU of Massachusetts here. Let's pick up where Barry left off. I mean, should officers have asked for medical use cards?
So first, I want to thank Barry for his work. It's an it's an amazing story. Maybe zooming out a little bit,
yeah.
I think the important one of the really important things here, and I think the reason why social media and everyone who hears the story thinks it's outrageous, is there's a trend in this country in relation to the war on drugs and to the use of marijuana. People don't think marijuana in general, people in the United States don't think marijuana should be criminalized. And so the idea that, you know, a paramilitary force or a police department, state police, with the help of the National Guard would go in is, I think, to people, a lot of people, terrifying. As to the warrant, specifically, and as to should people be showing badges, certainly they should be showing badges. It's dangerous, right, to go on someone's property, especially the more rural areas. I think you go, someone is like, what on earth are you doing? Like, no one ever comes on my property. So it's just dangerous policing in the first. In the second, if people have the requisite suspicion to believe someone is breaking the law, and that, and you can see that in a place that there isn't a reasonable expectation of privacy, right? So if I have machine guns in my backyard, and it's just an open backyard, the police can say, well, that looks like you're probably breaking the law. We can go and look at that. In this case, it sounds like, right? If we accept the fact that it's sensible to use the National Guard to do this and the state and state police resources to do this, flying over, and I'm questioning how they exactly did this and how much resources they expended doing this, because a plane wouldn't normally be able to identify marijuana unless people were using some binoculars or some other things. But once they identify that, then they can say, look, this probably is a violation of the law, because the number of plants would seem, from my understanding of it, mm-hmm. if someone has, it's questionable, because you can use enough for, you can have grow enough if you have a certificate for, my understanding is 60 days.
Right.
Which is very questionable how many plants that is.
Well, so let me just jump in here, because we actually spoke to Massachusetts State Police spokesperson Dave Procopio about this question of how the plants were identified in people's yards and whether there were search warrants issued for this latest operation. He said there were no search warrants issued. Because visual identification from a helicopter, that National Guard helicopter, he says, is enough for probable cause. Here he is.
Unit does occasionally obtain search warrants if the facts and circumstances indicate that further probable cause is required to be obtained through a warrant. But for this operation and for many of the marijuana eradication operations, because they're dealing with outdoor grow sites, the probable cause is obtained through visual observation from a trained spotter.
So probable grow sites, I would just say it's an 80-year-old's garden. But I think what's happening here, the language, it sounds like it's a military operation, right?
Yeah.
And I think it looked a little bit like a military operation.
I mean, they were using equipment from the National Guard.
Right. And I think, so just another trend. So I said about the trend of marijuana and the war on drugs in general is going to much more decriminalization. The public attitudes towards the militarization of police is going also in that direction, saying the police are getting more militarized, people are more resistant to that. So doing something like this seems directly against the will of what people want in this country, right, left, and center.
Well, I want to hear a little bit more from what Dave Procopio, again, a spokesperson for the Massachusetts State Police, says about that, because we did ask him about how frequently the state police uses helicopters from the National Guard in these marijuana search operations, like the one that they executed on the vineyard last month, and here's what he said.
The National Guard was not called in just for this operation. They partner with us on a marijuana eradication program, as they have for many years. We utilize their Black Hawk helicopters and their air crews to help our spotters look for marijuana grows, outdoor marijuana grows, all over the state.
So, Carl Williams, though, this raises a couple questions for me. One is, should is maybe the wrong way to phrase it, but you know, what laws can the National Guard be legally asked to enforce, and especially in a state like Massachusetts, where our state-level laws regarding medical use of marijuana and the decriminalization of the possession of certain amounts of marijuana differ from federal law? I mean, isn't there a tension here for using federal assets or equipment and personnel to execute a state-level search?
So state National Guard are a little bit in the middle of that. So
okay.
the governor and the president have authority.
Over
right?
the National Guard, right.
Yes, and frequently National Guards are deputized, right? Basically, I don't know, they do it with a sword, right? I don't think really, but they say, you know, you can enforce whatever it is, right? Whether it's Katrina, a natural disaster.
Emergency operation, right?
Or it can be a law enforcement operation also. I'm assuming that happened, right? And I'm not sure the physical process that takes, but that's what they were doing in this. Or they were just assisting the flight and they weren't actually doing law enforcement operations, right? They just took someone for a ride, essentially. So they're not actually enforcing the law. They're transportation in that.
Okay.
But really the question that you asked, Magna, is the kids have a meme on the internet. It's why though? Like, why are they doing this? And it seems to go against everything that we're looking for in law enforcement. It's everything we're looking for in relation to the war on drugs. And the understanding that's getting common that drug use, more serious drug use, is a health problem, not a, if that, even with marijuana, then it is a criminal justice problem, right? And I think this has really unnerved people in Martha's Vineyard and in the state.
Well, Carl Williams is a staff attorney at the ACLU of Massachusetts. He came along with us today to talk about two law enforcement stories about the pilot program of body cams for Boston police and this interesting marijuana operation that happened on Martha's Vineyard last month. Carl, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.